Welcome to Zero to CEO, where seasoned entrepreneurs will teach you how to succeed. I'm your host, Jason Sherman. In today's episode of Zero to CEO, I speak to an acceptor of challenges, Britt Gottschalk.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason.
And today we're going to talk about how being a multidimensional leader is a strength and not a weakness. I like that because a lot of people who listen to the show are entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how to be a leader, because it's part of being an entrepreneur. You have to be able to manage people at the end of the day if your business starts to succeed. So let's talk about that whole, you know, building confidence to be leaders. A lot of people who maybe don't public speak really well, or they don't know how to talk to people and kind of lead them. So how do you, like, what's your, like, first, I guess, tip of the day to get people to build that confidence?
Don't fall victim to the Dunning-Kruger effect. You know, you don't just become a leader overnight. It's not something that you just, you know, get thrown into and think that you're going to go ahead and do well. It takes a lot of learning, and it takes a lot of situations where you are humble and you recognize that you don't know what you don't know. There are going to be people that are smarter than you in the room. If they're not, then you're in the wrong room. But you have to be humble first, right? You have to be willing to accept what you don't know, be honest with yourself, with your strengths and weaknesses, and then be able to build up from there. And then you can decide, okay, what direction do I want to go? Do I want to lead teams? Do I want to lead projects? How do I get in the space where I can become a competent professional? But it all starts with, you know, acknowledging that you're not going to be an expert, then you're not going to become a leader overnight.
Yeah. And you just said something there. You said deciding if you even want to be a leader. Like, what if you don't want to be a leader? Like, what if you figure out, like, oh, that's not my strength? And what's your next step from there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you have to recognize if that's the case, you're not going to be effective. Like, you have to be in love with anything that you do, whether that's being a leader, whether that's being an engineer, whether that's being a salesperson. If you don't have a natural affinity of love for that, then it's not going to be something that you're going to be intrinsically motivated to continue to improve upon and, you know, ultimately, like, take the next steps that you need to do to become a better, insert here, better leader, better salesperson, better engineer.
I like that. And you've had such a diverse career journey. From looking at your history, have you, can you share, like, how some of these varied experiences you've had have shaped your leadership style in particular? So maybe people can learn from that.
Yeah. So I do refer to myself as a Jill of all trades. I've worked in almost every industry there is. I, you know, had my first job at age 15. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so I was at Wauwatosa City Hall, and I was stuffing envelopes for HVAC permits, right? So I went from that to, you know, working in aquatics. I was a lifeguard. I was a swim instructor. I became a manual laborer at Veolia Water in Milwaukee, and learned the true value of a dollar and why I should continue going to college and graduate. And, you know, from there, I really got more academically minded. So I went to school for psychology. I've always loved people. I'm a big people person, social butterfly. Nice. And I was, like, solving problems, right? So marrying the two was just something that was natural to me. So during that time, went to grad school, got an internship working at a management consulting firm, a mom and pop one in Wheaton, Illinois, and decided that I wanted to go into project change management, process improvement, all that nerdy good stuff. And so as I was completing my graduate degrees, I got my MBA and in industrial organizational psychology master's, which is the study of group behaviors in workplace settings. That's where all of that diverse knowledge really came into play for me, because it was like you're working with so many different people, working with so many different types of teams, and it's not just one way to solve a problem. You've got to work with your frontline, your middle management, your executive teams, and they've all got to be able to have this kind of synergy where they are creating a productive environment, a culturally healthy one. Yeah.
Let's actually talk about that. So you know, how do you create harmony among people, but at the same time, you're also developing, like, structured processes for people to follow, right? Because it's a balance. You're talking about, like, the psychology of it, but then you're also talking about the leadership aspect, and there has to be a way to balance the two. And not everyone has 14,000 MBAs or worked in 17,000 fields like you did. So, you know, most people coming into this are not going to have any of this, and they're going to try to learn from you. So how can they balance the harmony and also the structured processes?
First things first, we're all humans. We are all human beings. And at that level, you need to find what is relatable between, you know, anybody who's frontline all the way up to executive teams. Because when it comes down to value sets, when it comes down to, you know, what matters, what the purpose is, that's where everybody has to be aligned. If you can't get on the same page there in an organization, you're going to be setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think there's also, you mentioned a lot, at least I saw on your website and from your bios and stuff, that fear is often seen as a barrier. I always look at fear as like more like excitement and like, I guess, energy and like, you know, to me, it gets me kind of nervous a little bit and like excited. But have you used it as a tool for developing a growth mindset? If so, how did you do that?
Definitely. I mean, it comes from that, what I was saying before, that humility piece of you don't know what you don't know. But in order to start to learn, you have to throw yourself into environments that you're not the expert. Mm-hmm. So you're coming in and you might be, I remember like, you know, one of my first jobs, well, my actual first job as a real consultant out of grad school. And I was scared as hell. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I don't know what to do. I've got the degrees, but you know, very limited real world experience.
Right.
And I was coming in there acknowledging that. And I learned from so many incredible people that, you know, had been in the industry for 20 plus years. And, you know, in doing that, you know, letting the fear kind of take over and recognizing I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't have a chip on my shoulder. I felt I was a lot more prepared to learn from others, and take feedback, understand from people that have been there before, right? How do I do this thing? And so that's where it really started. And so, yeah,
you know,
be scared, but do it anyway, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. You have to jump in the water, so to speak. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, listening to people who are smarter than you or more experienced than you. But I've had some experiences in the past where some of the things that people told me that I should do, or like, you really have to do this, or you really have to do that. And it's like all these different people telling me different things. Some of it wasn't really staying true to my values, right? Some of it was more like, it sounded like they were telling me to be someone else. So let's tell our listeners here who are wondering, how did you face those decisions? How did you take that feedback? And then how did you stay true to your values to make sure that you were making the right call?
Yeah, through all of that, you get to see from those experts, right? You get to see the different perspectives, what value sets that they align with. And realistically, nobody's going to know what your purpose is, what your value, what your drivers are, except for you. So you can take in all of that feedback, be a sponge, understand the different ways that people operate, and then see what really jives with you. It's like, okay, so why am I here? I know that's a really big question for a lot of people, but it transcends not just, you know, being alive, also, you know, being in the workplace environment. It's like, why am I at this organization? Does it make sense to be here? Am I doing everything that I want to do? And if I'm not, what do I need to do to change that? And so yeah. I think like you incorporate a lot of that into creating your own value set.
I want to dig into that because this is actually really important. A lot of people, especially during the pandemic, I mean, we've found out during the last 4 years, a lot of people have become either unhappy, they've lost their jobs, they want a new path, but mm-hmm. they don't know what their values are. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they want out of life. They're finding out that they don't even know who they are. They're trying to find themselves. How can we help them do this? Like, how can we make sure that after someone listens to this, they say, I know how to embrace who I am. I know how to get what I want out of life, and I know how not to compromise my values. What are some of the steps they can take to make sure this happens?
Yeah. And I acknowledge too that like, you know, sometimes you just have to have that job to pay the bills. I get it. You got a side hustle that you're trying to fund. I understand that. But, you know, that's something that also can equate to your purpose. It's like that job, even though it's not something that is going to get you to the next level, maybe professionally, it does pay the bills for you to be able to fund something that you do want to do to get to the next level professionally. But I'll say, you know, I went through the same thing during the pandemic. I started my first business in the pandemic. And it was because of all those questions I had, like, what am I doing? Am I doing everything I want to with my life? And I think the best thing for me was I went dark. And I mean that in the way where it was like, you know, I quit my job. I took the time to really just like disconnect from the social media, disconnect from any kind of like sources that could be distracting. And I spent a lot of time just getting in tune with myself. So I'm somebody that likes to run, did a lot more, you know, like I did a lot more running. I did a lot more journaling. I did a lot more cooking, just things that grounded me. And, you know, first and foremost, you got to figure out what grounds you, right? And sometimes we get so disconnected because of all these distractions. You know, sometimes if it's not realistic to quit your job, well, then just take a moment, put the phone on silent, close the laptop, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Just have that thought, have that reflection and be like, okay, what is grounding me? I feel a little bit disconnected. What are those things that I really love? And out of that, you start to provide clarity for yourself in that environment. At least that works for me.
I'm with you 100%. I did the same thing. So in a different way, but yeah, that's fantastic. And with GNOME, which is really cool from what I can see on your website, we'll get to that in a second. I'm curious to know, you know, what was the moment where you realized that this was something you wanted to pursue? And also, everyone always wants to know, what were the biggest challenges you faced when building this and how did you navigate them?
Well, so I talked about my first business. GNOME is my second. The catalyst was my first business was failing. It was a consulting firm, and I had, I wanted to help organizations with the remote work transition, and that came out of the pandemic, right? I was still trying to figure out, like, what is my purpose? What do I want to do? And I wasn't able to keep up, with the Deloittes and the McKinseys. My clients they were great, but they weren't necessarily paying the bills. And so I was like, this is a time for humility. This is a time to figure out, like, I love being an entrepreneur. I want to stay in this space. How can I make this happen? So put the ego aside, talk to my clients and advisors and any other introductions they were giving me in that space, and started digging into some areas that I didn't really have a ton of info on, right? Some of my clients and advisors were in the healthcare space. And I'm like, what are some of these issues you've been seeing? What are some of the difficulties that have been rearing their head during the pandemic? Data accessibility kept coming up as number one. And I think a lot of times, if you're not in the clinical research space, like you think these professionals have the best of everything, I mean, especially in the US, access to all types of data, access to all types of, different experimental treatments, drug planning, whatever it might be. But that's not necessarily the case. All of that data comes from us in order to make treatments that are going to, make us better, help us live longer, all of that good stuff. And so, as I was talking to some more of my client base, I was like, okay, well, maybe we got something here. How do we get people more involved in doing it in a way that's going to be incentivizing to maybe help with this data accessibility issue? So
and safe, I would assume too. Oh, I keep seeing data breaches, yes, privacy breaches, HIPAA, yep, violations being thrown out. Even to me, I put my DNA out years ago. Now I'm hearing that my stuff got leaked or whatever. So I'm assuming you guys, yeah, like really wanted to focus on that.
Oh, absolutely. Like privacy, security, responsibility, and overall data ownership by the person who owns the data, which is, yourself, right?
Yeah.
And so the idea for GNOME came over a lot of different iterations going back to the drawing board, but eventually decided on the model where, we wanted to empower people to take control and ownership and responsibility of their data. So their electronic medical records, genetic and genomic data, we would basically pair and secure in our platform. They'd be able to share it with research institutions that they would like, and then they'd get compensated for it. And so it's a pretty standard marketplace model, but it's anything but easy. It's making sure that, we feel that we do have ownership over our data, especially over the most sensitive types, which I think in a lot of situations historically has been, abused by hospitals, mm-hmm, and health systems.
And as we wrap up, I want to zoom out for you to help everyone understand something, which is really important. You've been through a lot of stuff. You've had a lot of experiences. You had a failure and then a success. How do you see all of your experiences that you've had, going from grad schools to early jobs to later jobs to failures to successes, shape the future of your current company, GNOME? How can you kind of tell us what they should do? Like what kinds of things they should try to remember from this to be successful like you are?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, the humility. Don't have that chip on your shoulder. Put the ego aside. Second of all, if you might have a great idea, but that might not be a profitable idea. Find somebody that's going to buy whatever it is that you are selling. And if they're not buying it, ask the deep questions. Why? And if it's not the right thing, then you're going to have to pivot. If you want to stay an entrepreneur, the third thing that I'll say is don't necessarily jeopardize your values for something that you don't see a path forward with or an end goal to. Because I see so many people that, they'll say, okay, I'll just do this for a short period of time. And then they end up losing sight as to why they might've put their values aside. So just make sure you're constantly checking in with yourself to make sure that you're aligned with what you want to do in your life. And, overall, that'll equate to your happiness.
I love that. And happiness is the most important piece for me as an entrepreneur, for sure. Where can people find out more about what you guys do and if they want to learn more about your company?
Yeah, you can go to our website. It's yourgeno.me, or you can shoot me an email at BRITT@YOURGENO.ME.
I like that play on words, your genome, but yourgeno.me. All right, guys, yourgeno.me. Thanks, Britt. This was awesome. Hope you guys learned something, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you learned something today, please support this podcast by subscribing to it, sharing it with your friends, and leaving a 5-star review. You can learn more about me at jasonsherman.org, where you'll find information about my book, also called Strap On Your Boots, available on Amazon, as well as my course called Startup Essentials on Udemy or Skillshare. I'll see you in next week's episode.